Well, we begin another time of our studies together, and we are just excited that God has allowed us once again to assemble. The Bible tells us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, especially in the hour in which we live. The Bible says, Jesus said, man, the love of many will wax cold, and many things will be happening that's on the prophetic horizon. So it's an eye-opener for us. Revelation chapter 3. I want to talk this time here in our class about something that's vitally important for every single one who claims to be believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. I want to talk about the importance of spiritual sight. The importance of spiritual sight. Revelation chapter 3, 17 and 18. I'm reading from the Amplified. The Bible says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered and grown wealthy, and I am in need of nothing. You do not realize and understand that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." Verse 18, "Therefore, I counsel you to purchase from me gold refined and tested by fire, that you may be truly wealthy, and white clothes to clothe you and to keep the shame of your nudity from being seen." I want to point out this portion. "And salve to put on your eyes that you may see." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this time of sharing. How grateful we are that you have brought us together. Now I ask that you'd begin to give us insights and allow us to all gain spiritual sight to what you want us to know, especially in these closing hours of time. We bless those listening to this audio transmission, wherever they may be. It's in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach we pray. Amen and amen. You know, it is possible for a person to have 20/20 vision, love God, even have an anointing upon their life, but be spiritually blind. A lot of people don't recognize that when you become born again, when the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, all things have become new. And when we look at that, we need to understand that there needs to be a change, not only on the inside that we are now born again, but our hearing has to change. Our seeing has to change. In other words, the five senses that God gave us, the seeing, the smell, the touch, the hearing, and the tasting, all those have to now become spiritual also. I'll tell you why. It says in Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Have you tasted of him spiritually? You don't taste the Lord by licking on him, but have you tasted of him spiritually? You know, so we need to, Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." That's another one of our senses. So how do we allow our natural senses, the five that God gave us, watch now, to be superseded by the sixth realm, which is the faith realm? So once you understand the faith realm and how faith works, then things will change in our lives. My life, your life, and all of our lives. The logical question every believer should ask themselves is this. Write it down. Am I spiritually blind? I am an honest answer. Will greatly help right here. Am I spiritually blind? Now, nobody should be getting offended and saying, well, why are you accusing me of being blind? I'm not accusing anybody. But the bottom line is this. We have to admit that there are some things that we just haven't seen. We haven't seen this. You know, just because you can read something doesn't mean you see it. Just because you've actually seen something means you've seen it. So we're going to look at some things that I believe will really give us some keen insights. I want us to go now to 2 Kings chapter 6. Remember what Jesus said here now in verse 18, the latter part. He says, put salve on your eyes that you may see. That was in the natural. See, he said this to these people in Laodicea because what Laodicea was known for was eye salve. There was a place there that they said even blind people who put it on could see. But yet the church was blind. 2 Kings chapter 6. We want to look at verses 15 through 17. And our very first point here is only God can open our spiritual eyes. You got to know that. You can't go to the store. You can't go to a pharmacy and ask them for eye salve. Only God can open our spiritual eyes. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse number 15. I love this story about Elisha and his servant. When the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. Elisha's servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elisha answered, "Fear not, for those with us are more than those with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, our question, a logical one right here is, how come Elisha could see this? And the man of God, his servant, got up, went outside the tent, and all he saw was in the natural. Now, watch this. I want to show you something. It is possible for you to be with an anointed person who can see spiritually, but you, even though as faithful as you are, may not see spiritually. So I think this is one of the things. That's why I asked that question, am I spiritually blind? Because there's a lot of people in church, organized church, that are spiritually blind, and they're spiritually deaf, and they're spiritually, they cannot smell, they cannot touch, they cannot feel, all these things. Dr. Sumrall told us something years ago. He says, faith is the eyes that allows me to see the invisible. Faith is the ear that allows me to hear the inaudible. Faith is the hand that allows me to touch the intangible. I memorized that when he said that to us. Why is that? Because faith takes you to a realm where nothing else can take you. And so when we talk about the importance of spiritual sight, I want you to really grab hold to this story here. And I want to deal with this from several perspectives. Number one, here in chapter 6, it begins with the prophets, the sons of the prophets, saying to the man of God, Elisha, he says, "The place where we live before you is too small for us. So we have an idea. Let's go to Jordan and each man there get a house beam and let us make us a place there where we may dwell." He said, "Okay, go." So what did they want? They wanted expansion. They wanted to enlarge what they currently had. Man of God says, "Go ahead and do it." One said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." He answers, "Okay, I'll go." So they got the prophet to go with them. Verse number 4. So he went with them, and when they came down to the Jordan, they cut down trees. Well, they were on target. "We're going to cut down this tree." See, these guys had keen insight. We need to expand our house. We need to enlarge our house. All of that, though, watch this, was only in the natural. It was not in the spiritual. We're talking about the importance of spiritual sight. Look what it says in verse 5. "But as one of the sons of the prophets was felling his beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried, 'Alas, my master, it was borrowed.' The man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' When shown the place, Elisha cut off a stick and threw it in there, and the iron floated. He said, 'Pick it up,' and he put out his hand, and he took it." Now, when I look at this story right here, just verses 1 through 7, I remember preaching a message years ago called On the Cutting Edge. You and I need to be on the cutting edge. And if you have spiritual sight, let me tell you, you are on the cutting edge. It is possible for you to be around a million people and only you see what God is revealing. And they're clueless. They love God. They'll go to heaven when they die. But the bottom line is they have not lived their life to the fullest. Remember Jesus said here, another free scripture verse, John 10:10. He says, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I believe with all my heart, abundant life begins when you can see spiritually, hear spiritually, listen, smell spiritually, taste spiritually, all the things that does the natural, you can do in the spiritual. And this is why we're spirit, soul, and body. Should not that unite us and make us the total man, the total person God wants us to be? Okay, so first half here, the man of God, he does a miracle. Iron don't float, no matter how hard you try. Go down to the brook here, East Jordan, go ahead and throw it. That's Jordan, you're in Jordan. Get an axe and axe that, throw it. It will not float, no matter how many sticks you throw in after it. So a miracle happened here. All right, verse 8. When the king of Syria was warring against Israel, after counseling with his servants, he said, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." The man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, this is Elisha calling the man of God, "Beware that you pass not such a place, for the Syrians are coming down there." The king of Israel sent to the place which Elisha told and warned him, and thus he protected and saved himself repeatedly. Therefore, the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. He called his servants and said, hey, will you show me who of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, we got a mole in here. Somebody is telling my opponent, my adversary, what my plans are. Verse 12, one of his servants says, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom, in your bedchamber. Now, this is amazing. This is amazing. My question is, how can Elisha, living in a different nation, hear what the king of Syria is saying in his bedchamber? See, that's through faith. Faith allows you to hear the inaudible in your area. You'll hear and say, ooh. See, when Jesus said, well, Paul, he wrote it in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, our ears got to be cleaned. Now, we know in the natural, we got to get the wax out. We got to clean it up so that we can hear good, hear properly. Well, what about in the spiritual? If we allow things which are of doubt to filter into our spirit, guess what it does? It becomes wax that stops up our spiritual ears. It causes our eyes to be closed. It causes our feelings to become, yucky, well, I'll put it. So what happened? He says, you know what? Look at verse 13. Go and see where he is that I may send and seize him. Why? What is he saying? I need a guy like this. I need a guy who can sit in my house and tell me what my adversaries are plotting. I need a guy like this. Did he have a keen, did he have a spiritual insight here? No. He was just thinking, well, this can be best for us. This is the king of Syria, right? Now, it was told him, he's over in Dothan. Oh, we looked at the map. I know where Dothan is. So what did he do? The Syrian king, verse 14, sent their horses, chariots, and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. What is that? That's moving stealthily. That enemy came in at night. He said, we're going to attack you, but we're going to choke you off first. So he came in at night. Nobody knew. Now we come to verse 15, right? When the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, behold, this guy went puiva. An army with horses and chariots was around the city. Elisha's servant said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Think about this guy getting up early in the morning, walking out of his tent to make the cup of Java, and he sees nothing but neighing horses. And he's looking at these soldiers. He's like, oh my God, we are in trouble. Now, watch this. This servant right here, whether his name is Gehazi or Eli, doesn't matter, because he represents the people of the church. He represents the people of God. A great majority who, when they see their bill, say, oh my God, how are we going to get this bill paid off? Oh my God. Anything bad happens, they quickly call on God, but in the wrong way. Oh my God. How about we say like this? Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Psalm 19 will tell you that. Well, in fact, let's go there. Put your finger here. Let's quickly go over here and read it. Let's not just sing it. Let's read the thing. If it's in the Bible, let's get something over here. Psalm 19. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Listen to what the Bible says. I may not be at the right place, but I'm going to still give you some scripture verses. The Bible says in verse 7, Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the whole person. See, the whole person. It's spirit, soul, and body, the whole person. If your spirit and breath went out of your body, you're not the whole person. You're a dead person. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and bright, enlightening the eyes. The reverent fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to desire are they than gold, even than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, drippings from the honeycomb. Over them, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Okay, run reference. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Look at that, and let's see what we can come up with on that. So I come back. That was some free things there. And Second Kings chapter 6, the man of God comes out. Elisha's servant comes out, and he's crying out. Oh, my, my. Okay, let's go to Psalm 25:2. Thank you very much. Psalm 25:2. And we'll give you that right there so that you don't have to run a cross-reference. Let's see if we got the scripture. Oh, my God. Oh, look at this. I trust. I'm reading from the Amplified. I trust, lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. Let me not be put to shame, or my hope in you be disappointed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. That's right. The song is Unto Thee, O Lord, Do I Lift Up My Soul. There you go. I know I had the right song. I was just in the wrong chapter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So that is Psalm 25. Actually, take 1 and 2. Take that. That's a whole song right there. So here we are in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we see something wonderful about to happen. We often sing that song, saints. You know that song, Something Good Is Going to Happen to You. Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. In the natural, I can apply that song to who? Bartimaeus. Remember Bartimaeus? Book of Mark. He's sitting by the roadside, the wayside. Just he's a beggar. And he hears Jesus is coming down. And he didn't hear. He didn't hear anybody else talking no more. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Lord says, so what do you want? That I may receive my sight. The blind man replied. He received it. Something good is going to happen to you. So we have to understand when we begin to see in the eyes of faith. Now, Bartimaeus was a man who couldn't even see naturally, but he had eyes seeing, eyes of faith. Look, we look back here now. What shall we do? The question is in verse 15 of 2 Kings 6. Thank God the man of God had an answer. Oh, thank God the man of God had an answer. Look at verse 16. Elisha answered, fear not. See, that's the thing we have to do. First thing we got to do is shut down that fear factor that comes every time something is out of order. Every time the enemy whips something up, you got to shoot that fear factor down. You know, a preacher once says fear is nothing but an acronym for false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. So we have to believe, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. That's faith right there. Bam, we hit the devil, double cross. Boom, boom, boom. Now, the Bible says, Elisha answers, for those with us are more than those with them. Well, hang on now. Let me digress. Let me go back over here and show you something. Verse number 14 says, the Syrian king sent their horses, chariots, and a great army. That's a lot of folk right there, not a lot of animals. But the man of God, looking at the same thing this brother saw, didn't speak like him. Did you get that? He saw what the man saw, but he saw beyond what the man was only looking at in the natural. He says, those with us, didn't say those with me. See, he didn't say, oh yeah, the guys with me are more than those out there. He said, those with us. He included the one who couldn't see. And that's what we want to do. We want to always include those who may not, they have a 20/20 vision. They have a good, what do you call that? IQ, but they cannot see spiritually. So let's include them. Those with us are more than those with them. What did John say? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Verse 17, Elisha prayed, Lord, now watch this. Remember, only God can open our spiritual eyes. Lord, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord says, you got to be kidding me. No, God didn't say that, did he? And the Lord replied to the man of God, what? No. In this generation, I just want one of you to see. No, he's not a prophet. I can't let him see spiritually. You know how often people of God throw that out. Well, if I was the pastor, maybe I could do that. Well, you know, if I was the evangelist, perhaps I could. No, that's not what the Bible says. My Bible says, I'm reading from the Amplified, and the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And what happened? And he saw, and behold, the mountain was what? Now, here's a real sight. See, the Bible tells us the things that we see in the natural are only temporal. But what we cannot see, that's eternal. And right here, he says, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Oh, that's powerful right there. Only God can open our spiritual eyes. So since we asked that question at the top of this program, Am I spiritually blind? What was your truthful answer? For those of you who said no, you have to repent, because you can't go to point number two until you repent, because you know you cannot see spiritually. You have to take off the spiritual makapia-pia. You know those things that want to just seal our eyelids. When you wake up early in the morning, you have to pry it open. Yeah, Hawaiians, you understand that. You have to remove all that. Okay, since you repented, let's go on to number two. I'm going to ask you a question. Point number two is this. Why miss out on God's best? Well, you say, well, you know, first of all, I'm not an eloquent speaker. Well, I know plenty of people who are not eloquent speakers. But boy, they can gossip. Boy, they know how to use a cell phone. They know how to call everybody. They're not an eloquent speaker, they said. Ask them to say a testimony in the church. They can't do it. But you let them go outside, you hear them in the mall. God can use every single one of us. Amen. And if you cannot speak well, it's not going to give God a nosebleed, because he, even if you stutter, God's going to listen. After all, he listens to those who cannot even speak. Let's see what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. See, we always got to remember what the scripture says, right? What the scripture says. The Bible says, on the contrary, 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 9. As the scripture says, there you go, whoop, there it is. As the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear hath not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. I believe a lot of people don't even recognize all the benefits that God has. The Bible says in Psalms that he daily, D-A-I-L-Y, daily loadeth us with benefits. You have the benefit of waking up. Many didn't do it. You have the benefit of getting out of bed. Many couldn't do it. You have the benefit of putting one foot in front of the other. Many couldn't do it. You have the benefit of just using the bathroom by yourself. There's a lot of people in nursing homes who can't say that. You have the benefit of just brushing your teeth. Others can't do that. You have the benefit of taking a shower, taking a bath. You have the benefit of dressing yourself. You say, well, come on now. People are paying $2,500 plus a month for somebody to do that for them. He daily loadeth us with benefits. And so we have the benefit of talking about him. And we choose to remain silent. Somebody said, well, silence is golden. Not if you're a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach. How can they hear except a preacher tells them something? So my question to you is, why miss out on God's best? Verse 10, yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. Verse number 11. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God except what? The Spirit of God. With the Spirit of God. And this is what we need to understand. We have received the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. We're talking today about the importance of spiritual sight. Number three, Jesus, he had spiritual sight. Well, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. Well, I got to show you something. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 11. If you can get this scripture down in Isaiah chapter 11, then you'll understand why it's important for us to have spiritual sight, spiritual hearing. If we're going to be the sons of God, which the Bible calls us, then we have to be led by the Spirit of God. And many times when the Spirit of God is going to lead you, you got to hear him when somebody else is sleeping. You have to hear him. He's going to show you something that somebody else cannot see, though they're right beside you. Verse number 3 of Isaiah 11. Listen to what it says. talking about God, shall make of Jesus. God shall make him, capital H for him, that's Jesus, of quick understanding, watch, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. Now watch this, I want you to see this. And he, Jesus, shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. Do you see that? How could he see things, neither decide by the hearing of his ears? So what do we have to say about this? What we have to say about this, when Jesus dressed a situation, when he came into a place, he saw things spiritually. He saw things spiritually. He didn't see things in the natural only, but he saw it spiritually. His disciples, them apostles, they saw things, most of them, in the natural. Now, I just want to share this with you. If you feel at this moment, at this juncture, as we're teaching this, you still do not have spiritual insight, you still do not have spiritual sight, I should say, well, you still have an opportunity to get it from God. You can get it before tonight ends. You can get it because the Bible says God wants to give to all men, not just wisdom liberally, but he wants to give you that which is available. So Jesus had spiritual sight. You say, well, yeah, that encourages me. Well, let me take you to point number four. You and I got to learn to see through the eyes of faith. I know I touched on that earlier, but in Hebrews 11, verse number 1, it expounds to us about this wonderful thing called faith. Faith is the language of the kingdom of God. Doubt cannot survive in the kingdom of God. Faith needs to be challenged every single day. And so it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance. I want to stop right there. It could have started off this sentence by saying, soon faith, or when faith, or if faith. But it says, now faith. So what do we learn? What do we learn as disciples of the Lord as we study the words of God and read what's written in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? We notice that if you're gonna display faith, faith is always for the present. Now faith is. Now faith is. Faith is not for tomorrow. Faith is for the present. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed, there you go, to the senses. We talked about the senses. Now we have our senses. Oh, I heard this. Oh, yeah, I felt this. Oh, I seen this. I smelled this. I tasted this. It's wonderful. But what about the spirit side now? For by faith, trust and holy fervor born of faith, watch, the men of old have divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. So what does faith give us? A good report. The Bible tells us, look at verse number 3. Look how you're more brilliant than most scientists. Look at this. By faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose. How? By the word of God. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. You can go outside and look at the cloud formation. You can go outside and look at the trees and just look at all that God has, the mountains, the lakes, you know, all these things, the ocean, whatever. We can look at this and say, God made this. And faith allowed you to believe that. God made this. You didn't have to stay up at night saying, I wonder how, when did that big bang happen that brought this into, you know, we don't have to wonder about that. God made it. God made it. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. So easy when you're running with visible things to think on that plane. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10. I want to show you something in Daniel chapter 10 because our fifth point is Daniel had eyes of faith. He had eyes of faith. I love reading the story of Kaniala, Daniel. In chapter 10, the guy's amazing. I mean, he just amazes me. He's in the land of bondage. He's in the land where they were sent there by God because of disobedience amongst their leaders. Now watch this. And amongst their people. I want you to see this. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, their Hebrew names, along with Daniel. Watch this. These four men were tremendous men of God, but even they had to go into captivity during the time that God says, no, you're going to be there for 70 years. Yeah. Why God didn't keep them back? I mean, here there is, it is anointed. And, you know, you hear a lot of Christians saying that, oh, I'm not worrying about that because, you know, God wouldn't allow us to have to go through things because, Well, think about Daniel. Think about Daniel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it referred to great tribulation, conflict, and wretchedness. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. Verse 2. In those days, now he speaks, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 whole weeks. I ate no pleasant or desirable food, nor did any meat or wine come into my mouth. I did not anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, I was on the bank of the great river Hiddekel, which you call the Tigris. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was a golden luster like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and his feet glowing burnished bronze. The sound of his words were like the noise of a multitude of people or the roaring of the sea. And I, Daniel, watch this, alone saw the vision of this heavenly being. Watch, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Now, I said this earlier. It is possible for you to be around the anointed and not see what God is revealing. And here Daniel, he sees it. He says, I alone saw this. Those who were with me didn't see it. Why was that? Daniel, as a prophet of God, kept himself in the land of bondage, of captivity, and kept his relationship fresh with the Father. So that God says, Daniel, for you to be my man, you need to see spiritually. You need to break beyond the walls of this great city called Babylon. Hallelujah. I need to show you what the future is going to be. And Daniel began to see into the future. Into the future, Ezekiel saw a wheel in the middle of a wheel, the Bible says. And he looked at it, that just referring to who Jesus was. How could these guys have that kind of eyes to see they were humans? How could these people? What was the difference? Faith divides. Faith seeks to conquer, but more than anything, faith divides. It divides people in the church. So you go sit with those people. They got really powerful faith. We don't have that kind of faith yet. Faith divides. Faith wants to unite, but faith divides because people say, yeah, I don't think I'll ever be able to get to that stage. I don't think I'll ever be able to get to that point. Yes, you can. But you're going to be betrayed by the words of your mouth. Daniel had eyes of faith. Here a man in captivity was being shown the calendar of 2009 and 2010. I mean, how in the world could he see it? Our Lord Jesus said in the book of John, when he's talking to the Pharisees, he says, oh, by the way, guys, I need to tell you, Abraham longed to see my day, and he saw it. And they said to him, you're not even 50 years old, dude. You're not even 50. Abraham is dead, been dead for hundreds of years. How could you tell us that? Because Abraham did see the future. When he looked and he saw the ram caught in a thicket, it says in Genesis chapter 22, and he saw the crucifixion taking place right there on the same mount called Moriah. Here's a question, though. Question still got to come back to this. How can the people be right next to you and not see what you see? Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9, same thing happened there. Everybody saw the light, but nobody heard the voice. The people next to him said, oh, it's thundering. See, our spiritual perceptions must change. I believe we're living in the last days where if we don't allow our spiritual perceptions to change, we're going to be left out on many things. To hear the Lord say, go, You better be able to hear two letters. Go. You don't have to get a text from somebody or a phone call. Oh, did you hear? Hear what? I didn't hear that. Oh, when did that happen? The Bible tells us in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, right? He says, God's not going to do nothing until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. The prophets will hear. True prophets of God will hear from God and say, listen, I know you think it looks bad, but don't worry about it. God opened their eyes that they may see. That they may see that those who are with us are more than those who are opposing us. That's powerful right there. Thank you, Daniel, for having eyes of faith. Well, we look here now. We have to go to point number 6. And you know, in Revelation, we started off there in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. But we got to go back to Revelation chapter 1. And John, he had a revelation of Jesus. How did that happen?
Through faith. Through faith.
John had a revelation of Jesus. John chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse number 9. Listen to how John puts it. He says, I, John, your brother and companion, sharer and participator with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patient endurance which are in Jesus Christ, was on the isle called Patmos, banished on account of my witnessing to the word of God and the testimony, the proof, the evidence for Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit, wrapped in his power on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice like the calling of a war trumpet. Now we know what day the Lord's day is. What day do we call it today? Sunday.
Yeah.
So this is not the Shabbat, but this was the Lord's day. I heard behind me a great voice like the calling of a war trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Write promptly what you see, your vision, in a book, and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia. Can I tell you why? Because them churches didn't see it. Them churches did not see it. So the Lord says, I want to tell the church something. And look at it says, verse 11 again. He says, write promptly what you see, write your vision in a book, and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia. To Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then it says here,
good.
Then it says here, then I turned to see who was the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstand, one like a son of man, clothed with a robe which reached to his feet, with a girdle of gold about his breast. Hello, this is almost like what Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 10. In fact, it is. His head and his hair were white like wool, white wool. As white as snow, his eyes flashed like a flame of fire. What did Daniel say? It was like torches. His feet glowed like burnished bright bronze as it had been refined in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. It's almost the same thing what Caniala said. But this is how many years later? This is 700, almost 800 years later. With clarity. Two men. Look at this. I want you to see something. Two bookends. Daniel, John. Daniel seen way down here that John was in. John saw beyond that. He went beyond that. This is amazing how God allows you to have keen sight about what is going to unfold. So nobody can say, oh, God kept it hidden. No, not. If you understand how God does things, it's going to have to be time released.
Hallelujah.
With God, it's always time released. Where are we? What verse are we in? The Bible says in verse 16, in his right hand, he held seven stars. And from his mouth, there came forth a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in full power. When? At midday. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead. He laid his hand right upon me and said, his right hand upon me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And the ever-living one, I am living in the eternity of eternities. Pooh! I died, but see, I am alive forevermore. And I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. Write, therefore, the things you see. Not with your natural eyes. Spiritual eyes. what they are and signify, and what is to take place hereafter. As to the hidden meaning, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven lampstands of gold, the seven stars are the seven angels, the messengers of the seven assemblies, the churches. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. Once again, John had a revelation of Jesus and of the times in which you and I live. And then went beyond that to see the eternity of eternities. Here's number seven. We got to go back to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, please. How do you see God? How do you see God? That's my question to you right now. How do you see God? You know, Dr. Summerall told us. Dr. Summerall said to us, you know, he always challenged, right? Dr. Summerall says, faith is knowing God. See, that's faith right there. You know God. You got faith. How big is God in your eyes? Somebody says, well, it's about 7'5". It's about 8'7". God says, you make a temple, it's still too small, because the heavens of heavens cannot contain me. How great and how big is this God that we serve? Verse 19, look at me if you will. Man of God, Micaiah, he says, hear the word of the Lord. 1 Kings 22:19. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Oh, nobody else was there. Jehoshaphat was there. He didn't see that. Ahab was there. He didn't see that. Verse number 8. They didn't see this. This man was right there. He says, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left side. And the Lord said, not only did he see, he heard him. Well, they were right there. He was between two kings and he heard God, the King of Kings. The Lord says, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? One of the spirits says, I can do it this way. Another said, I can do it this way. Then there came forth a spirit of whom I'm about to tell and stood before the Lord and says, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, by what means? And he said, I will go forth and be a lion spirit in the mouth of not some, but all his prophets. The Lord says, you shall entice him and succeed also. Go forth and do it. Then Micaiah says, so the Lord hath put a lion spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning you. Well, the next verse says, the other prophet named Zedekiah wasn't too happy. He went near and he struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord for me to speak to you? Micaiah said, behold, you shall see on that day when you go into your inner chamber to hide yourself. He already saw what this guy was going to go through. That's powerful. This is powerful. It should make you excited. I mean, you should just be ready to do the tootsie-tootsies right there and be excited. God's a good God. The devil's a bad devil. So the Lord put a lion spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a lion spirit in the mouth of all these prognosticators that you see on television right now. All these guys on TV and even on satellite radio and AM and FM radio, they're telling you all these things that's going against the grain, not flowing with God, going against the grain. The devil's out there doing his job. So God is allowing these things to happen. You say, well, what if I believe it? No. Now, if you have truth in you, you shouldn't have to believe. You don't have to take what the devil has to offer. And he's offering a lot of propaganda today. So it behooves us to come to a realization. I need to really sharpen my focus. I need to begin to see as God wants me to see. And we got to say, Abba, please help me to see. Help me to hear. Help me to be moved by the Spirit of God and not by circumstances. Let me not look around and say, oh, I don't have what they have. But Lord, let me just say, I am blessed. I am favored. One of my mentors is Dr. Mike Murdoch. He wrote a song. We're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed. We are blessed. Somebody said, that ain't too deep. He says, yeah, with shelter, clothing, and strength, we are blessed. He said, the song goes, we're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed, we are blessed. Then he closes out by saying, although we don't deserve it, we are blessed. It's a very simple chorus, but it's the truth. Can you actually say you're blessed? Oh, the neighbors might have a newer car than you. You might even have a better house. But you got shelter, clothing, and strength. You're blessed. We don't have to go down and be visited in the rest home, huh? We're blessed. I want to live to be 100 years old. But if you're going to be drooling along everybody, all over everybody, go home when you're 80. You don't want to be having somebody push you around planet Earth. Good God Almighty, if your job's finished, get out of here. Do what you're supposed to do. Make room for somebody else. God's got more work, and he got some people who have got more strength than you do to get this work done. Amen. Let's close with number 8. 8 means what? New beginnings, right? Amen. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Here's our last point is, who or what is hindering your sight? Well, come on now. Don't go down that road, somebody says. Well, let's look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. Do you really believe there's somebody who's hindering my sight? Only you can answer that. It says in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 6, check this out. In the year that King Uzziah died, in a vision I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, skirts of his train filled the most holy part of the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had 6 wings, with 2 each covered his own face, with 2 each covered his feet, with 2 each flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone and ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King." My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims, heavenly beings, to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity and guilt are taken away. Your sin is completely atoned for and forgiven." Ain't that something? Where did it come from? The altar. Where did it come from? The altar. The altar is a cross that Jesus Christ bore for us. The Bible says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear and hear continually, but understand not. See and see continually, but do not apprehend with your mind. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn again and be healed." Ain't that something? So the question is, who or what is hindering your sight? Well, there's a list of things that we could lay down. Our job. We could be family. It could be friends. It could be hobbies. It could even be ministry. Remember, this is a prophet. Isaiah was a prophet. And apparently, after Uzziah died, he had a vision. If you read his prior chapters here, chapter 1 through chapter 5, he's lambasting everybody. But he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. In other words, he saw everything going on around him, but he failed to see the Lord. And it is possible for us to see everything around us, you know. What's hindering your sight? That's a good, legitimate question for us to ask today. I mean, think about it. You might have to make a list of 5 things, 10 things, 20 things, or 2 things. For the most holy, it might be only 1 thing. Whatever the case might be, we need to address that. I saw the Lord. And then he says, not only did I see him, I saw his train fill the whole earth with his glory. He says, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That is in the spiritual realm. That's not in the natural. How could he peer into the heavens of heaven, the third heaven, where the Most High, the Ancient of Day, lives, and he saw him on the throne? That's amazing. John had to go there to see him on the throne. Well, Isaiah saw him from Jerusalem, from Israel. He saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. The importance of spiritual sight, everybody. I trust that in this message you were able to glean some factors that perhaps can assist you, so that you too can, like like Elisha, have a request that God will open your spiritual eyes. I've been around a lot of people in my years in ministry, and they always throw things out. Did you see that? Oh, I saw this. I heard that. Did you hear that? They use that as a barometer to see how far above you they are. And I'm just honest with them. No, I didn't see it. Oh, you should have been there because the Spirit of God revealed to me. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Are you fulfilling and following what he told you to do? Well, right now I'm just waiting. We don't have the funds to do it. My God, if God showed you something, you should go beyond the funds. That should propel your faith right there. Obviously, they didn't. They just parroted what they heard somebody else say. So we need to come down. You know, somebody once said, don't know if it was Shakespeare, but to thine own self be true. To thine own self be true. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you. And on this occasion, I ask that if I may use the words of that mighty man of God, that great prophet who was not afraid and was not going to back down, the man named Elisha. May I use his words, sir. May I use his words as he prayed in chapter 6 and verse 17 of 2 Kings. Lord, I ask you, because I know you're the only one who can do this. Only you can open our spiritual eyes. Open the eyes of those within the sound of my voice, that they may see. That they may see like you want them to see spiritually. Abba, you're not a respecter of persons. We love you. And yes, like Isaiah, we have to also say we are people of unclean lips. And we dwell amongst people like that. But we ask that you would cleanse us and now allow us to exhibit the realm of faith that will allow us to see spiritually and hear spiritually and touch, taste, and smell spiritually through the realm of faith. We seal this with Holy Spirit of promise. We thank you for the victory that we are assured of. In Jesus' name, we magnify you, the Ancient of Days. Amen and amen.